time you said it is not easy to find people who need the information. You are trying to share even though you can use many different types of media. And here it is another question. How do you find volunteers? You are very close to the university. Are there many students involved in your activities?
Well, fortunately, the more you do, the more people have heard of you, and the more people can look for you and find you. That's helpful. We've been together for long enough now that people actually try to find us, and that's one. Word of mouth is another. Just people talking to people, and then on top of that, we just, I don't know. For example, last weekend, and now it's, what, 2 weekends ago? A while ago. Quad Day at the university. And Quad Day, for those who don't know, where the quadrangle behind the Illini Union is filled with rows of booths from groups who are interested in attracting the attention of students. It's anything from religious groups wanting you to join their church to, we had clubs right next to us. On one side was a 3D modeling club, and they work with making 3D models, 3D printing. I don't know if you noticed, but they had all these plastic things on their table. Mm. They were experimenting with making things using this new 3D printing technology. Mm-hmm. So it's things like that. Language clubs, music clubs, dance clubs, art clubs, everything is out there. So for the last few years, we've set up the CU immigration table, and I sit there with signs that say CU immigration, and people come, and inevitably they say, well, what do you do? What is this? Because it's not really obvious, and it's hard for us to kind of explain it. My early explanations were vague and long and convoluted, but what I ended up with saying was CU Immigration Forum is a group of community students and academic people who are interested in making the Champaign-Urbana area more immigrant-friendly. And to that end, we create activities and sponsor events that help immigrant people connect with services that they need. That was my explanation.
Hmm.
I know there's more that could be said, but I felt like this kind of captured or encapsulated what we do in a pretty succinct way. It's like we are a group, we do things, and try to help immigrants. So the kinds of things, the next question would inevitably be like, well, what kinds of things do you do? And then I would say, well, we sponsor. We're doing a fundraising right now for unaccompanied minors coming from Central America who need legal help and are just basically and assistance navigating the system and trying to make claims for asylum. We offer workshops for things like DACA and the driver's license stuff to help people get connected and things like that. So just different ways. They change all the time depending on what's needed at the moment. We form subgroups. They get together and work on these various projects and come up with something we can do with our limited means and manpower to address that situation.
Yes. I also went to the court day on August 23rd. So were the students interested in your immigrant forum? There were more freshmen present on that day.
I think it was mostly freshmen. Although I would say a lot of the people that came up were sophomores and seniors and things like that.
Yeah, more international students came, or more Americans. How does it seem to you?
Well, let's see. I would say it was mostly first and second generation people who were immigrants or children of immigrants. Mm. A few international students who weren't sure what we did and thought maybe we offered assistance to international students. A guy came up and was interested in getting like kind of a work visa thing. He didn't want to be an immigrant, he just wanted to stay and work for a while. And I tried to help him with that, but really that's not what we do. We're more for immigrants, people who have come here to live. And then a few people were just Americans who were sort of just generally interested in the topic or interested in finding some sort of social service kind of activity, some social welfare activity that they could become involved in. But the majority of people that came up were either first or second generation immigrants who were interested in helping others or seeking help or one of those two things.
Hmm. In Japan, students usually don't have much connect with immigrants, so they are not so interested in the immigrant issue. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It is difficult in U.S. There are more international students and more immigrants here, so I thought maybe there would be more students and younger people interested in the immigrant issue.
Well, yeah. Clearly, most people that were there just walked by and maybe didn't glance or didn't even bother to look over. So, by far and away, the vast majority of people that were there didn't see us or talk to us at all. But I would say that in the U.S., the whole topic of immigration, the whole history of immigration is very different than most of what you might call old world countries, like countries that have been in existence for thousands of years instead of hundreds of years. Because in those places, it's kind of a strange arm's length thing, like we're this country, generations of us have been here, and immigrants are somebody new that we're not quite sure about. That sort of general feeling. But, you know, that you might like them to some extent, you might need them to some extent, but you're not really sure that you want to mess with this thing because for generations you've, you know, been the same and it seems like it should always stay the same. But U.S. is a completely different story. Mm. There are people who adopt that kind of attitude, that kind of negative attitude. But for the most part, I think people are aware, or at least conscious to some degree, of the fact that except for the indigenous Americans, everybody here is an immigrant. Mostly second, maybe third, first generation, but pretty much everybody here can very quickly, in a couple of steps, trace their ancestry back to some other country. So immigration is the creation of the United States as a nation, as an entity, and it's still ongoing. It's not a fixed thing. There are people who would like to stop it where it is and fix it in place and say, okay, this, we're done. This is what the United States is. But it's still a formative period. It is now settled or covered all the territory it's going to cover, and it has created sets of laws and customs and things, but it's still forming. It's still being formed. So immigration is still part of that process. As I said, I think that people are conscious of this. Maybe conscious is too strong a word. They are aware of it, whether they are conscious of it or not. So except for the most diehard nativist nationalist types who just want to say, no, 1950, that's it, that's where we're done then. And then so anything that happens after that is new. Most people, to some degree or another, are aware that it's an unfinished process of formation. Who and what the United States is still an unsettled question. It's still in the process of becoming, that's it. I think the question of immigration is different here. It's different from almost any other country I can think of because of that fact.
Yes, each person has a different route, so their relationship to the topics of immigration would be different, too. At the Immigration Forum, what do you focus on?
Well, there's a focus to what we do. Like if you say you had an overriding point, it would be to welcome and assist the immigrants in our community. That's what we do. Or that's what we're trying to do. The ways we try to do it and the things we try to do to lead to that end, to those ends, I should say, vary over time and depend on circumstances. But the main thing that we're trying to do is say, we appreciate you being here, and we would like to make the process of your becoming comfortable here or your stay here easier for you. Because most of us, or many of us, have been there before, and we know how hard it is, and we'd like to help. That's kind of what we're about in a very broad way.
So sometimes more local issues, sometimes more national issues like DACA?
Yeah, whatever is necessary or important. When we first started out, one of the issues we worked on was something called Secure Communities, which was a government program designed to expedite the deportation of criminal aliens, so to speak, of immigrants who were here, undocumented immigrants who were also criminals. What it became, unfortunately, was a program that just, well, it was an easy way to find people who were undocumented by the government. So it was a way of deputizing local law enforcement and making them do the work. And they bore the expenses because they'll be asking to house these people who had done no crime so far. They've just picked up, you know, say for went through a traffic light, or they had the license plate was overdue or something, and they'd be picked up. They would end up in the criminal justice system, and so they came in contact with the law. But then they'd be at the law. The local authorities would be asked to hold these people till the federal authorities could come along. So they were just basically using it as an easy way to find people and get rid of them. So quickly it started to become apparent that that's what was going on, and that was not something anybody, except maybe the federal immigration people, thought was a good idea. And even many of the people who designed the program also said, you know, that's not what we designed it to do. This is not correct. So enough people were aware that this was not working as it was supposed to, and they eventually put an end to it. But at first, people didn't know this. They knew the rhetoric. They knew what it was described as. And then those of us who were working with immigrants were aware of what the result of it was. But we weren't sure how it was getting from what it was described as to what was actually happening. So there was a lot of research involved in that period and trying to figure it out. Like, okay, what's going on? How often does this come into effect? Who's doing what? What's happening? And from that, we discovered a lot of things, and we became aware that this really, in fact, was a very bad thing. So we got our local authorities to say that they would not cooperate with it anymore. But that was a bit of work, and we were one of the first areas, well, not the very first, but one of the very early areas in the country to reject the Secure Communities program. And others followed very quickly, not necessarily because of our example, but just they were also doing that same work. Because everybody everywhere became aware of what was going on. And it was hard to get them to let go of it, because the federal government was like, hey, it's easy. It doesn't cost us any money, and we're getting it all for free. We're just getting our work done for free. So that's an example of a federal thing that we attacked at a local level and supported all the way up to up the chain of hierarchy of government. We supported it on the state level. We supported it again on the federal. You know, but our voice became increasingly drowned out as we went up the ladder. But around here, we had enough of a platform and enough of a voice to be heard.
So you have your activities as a community group. Do you sometimes contact with other organizations in other states?
Yeah. The members of the forum, have always included those who were aware of and kept track of what was going on at a federal, national level, or a statewide level. Saw the bigger picture and looked at the local picture in terms of or as part of the bigger picture. So it's not hard for us to maybe not connected, but we're aware of what's going on, and our being connected is just a matter of our acting on the needs of the moment and taking advantage of what connections we do have to lend our voice to the larger call for change. Something like that.
And also sometimes you research about the local issues. For example, local business.
Yeah, well, that's one big thing. A lot of what we do involves trying to spread awareness about what's going on, because there are a lot of people who have mistaken notions about immigrants. One of them, one popular one, that is used as a tool, I don't know if it comes from its use, like it was just invented to be a tool or became from natural misunderstanding and was turned into a tool, but either way, it's the notion that immigrants come here and take jobs, and that's all they do. They come here and use services meant for original citizens, and they take jobs away from those people. They're like leeches or mosquitoes coming and just sucking their blood. They're not giving you anything. They're just taking something. But anybody who knows a lot of immigrants and spends time with them is aware that this is not the case, that these are people. They're just like anybody else who are just moving to a new place to try to improve their condition or come up with a better life than they had before. That's who immigrants are. It's just people moving to a different place, from some other place to a new place, and trying to do what everybody does when they move, which is, I'm moving here because I think there will be something better here for me in some way. I like the climate better. I'll get more money working here. Whatever the reason you think there is, that here is better than there, you go to the trouble, and it's a great amount of trouble. Let's not make any mistake about that. It's not a casual thing that you're just sitting around one day and go, oh, let's go to America. I'm tired of this country. It's a huge undertaking to move across town. Anybody who's ever moved knows how hard it is to do that. So you can only imagine from that how hard it is to move to a new country where you don't know anybody, don't know the language, don't know the customs, don't have the background, all that stuff. So immigrants don't come here casually. They don't come here because they're lazy. They come here because they are not lazy, because they are ambitious and they want to do something, and they're willing to put out this huge effort and make this big change because they think something good will come of it. But anyway, because of that misapprehension and that mistaken notion, a lot of the arguments against immigrants are based on money. They cost us in social services. They cost us in taking away jobs. They're expensive to maintain. You have to take care of them in some way. They don't pay taxes. They don't blah, 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 blah. All these different things. So one of the good arguments to teach people a different way of thinking is to use a financial model. Make an economic argument and say, well, no, immigrants are good for the economy in the following ways. And there are a number of ways that they are, and it's a long, long list. But one of those ways is that they tend to be entrepreneurial. They come here and they start businesses. They come here with a variety of different skills and talents, and they think they don't know the network, they don't have friends, so it's not easy for them to get jobs as it is for someone who lives here. Someone who's lived here all their life and their family's lived here, they have connections, so they can say, oh, talk to Uncle Ralph. He knows this guy who has a business, and they're looking for help, and you can get a job there. It's more, I don't want to say it's simpler, easier. It's hard for everybody to get a job when the economy's not doing well. But when you understand the system and you know the local culture and the local society, it's much easier to get a job than it is if you don't know those things. So what a lot of immigrants do is they come here and they go, I've got this skill. I don't know how I could go about getting hired to do this, but I can start my own business doing it. And so a lot of immigrant entrepreneurs, they just simply work out of their home. They start a simple business. They start mowing lawns or, I don't know, cleaning house or something like that. Mm. And they just start simply by, they'll put up an ad or they'll just talk to people until they find somebody who's looking for that. And I've seen people walk around. I've seen people go by at the place where I work. Some people pushing a lawnmower and walking by, do you want me to mow your lawn? It's as simple as that. But they'll start very small and they'll start a business. And as they become more successful, they hire people, and before you know it, they've got a shop. Recently, we went and bought bread from an immigrant-run bakery. Yeah. He's from Mexico. He came here. He knew how to bake. He started his own bakery. And we talked earlier about going to another friend who's got an ice cream shop. So these are people. They have employees. They rent space. They contribute to the local economy in a number of ways. They pay taxes. They do all these different things. They hire people, they pay their wages, and they provide a service which people in the community can get access and get something that they couldn't get before, and something done in a slightly different way that they didn't have before. So it tends to be a compelling argument for people who are not social and don't know that much about immigrants to understand the true extent of what they do for the economy, and it's very helpful. It's one thing to make the social conscience argument, well, these are people, and they have families, and they deserve our sympathy and understanding. That's a good argument for some people. But for a lot of people, they're just like, I don't know these people. They're not friends of mine. I don't know who they are. And that falls on deaf ears when you try that kind of argument on them. But if you say, hey, they're good for the economy. They pay taxes. They do this. They start businesses. They employ people. And here are our examples. This restaurant, that catering business, this hair salon, you know. I get my hair cut at a barber shop of them. Person that started his own barbershop. So there are all these different kinds of things that they do. And if you start pointing that stuff out, then people do begin at least to realize the different ways that they do interact with immigrants without necessarily being aware of it. And they start to realize, yes, this person, I would hate it. I'd be very unhappy if this restaurant disappeared or if this business went away. I like those things. They add to my community and to my quality of life. And then they start realizing the importance, and I think they go on from there.
Oh, so when you talk about the community, in this case, you mean not just the immigrant community, but community in general, the local community. You're saying that the immigrant business contribute to the community and makes the community rich culturally or economically. Is that right?
Yeah. It's a complex message that's actually both. It's complex and simple. It's a simple message. Immigrants are people. We are all people, and so we all have things that we can gain from each other and the things that we can offer to one another. So it doesn't matter where they come from. That doesn't have any impact on what they can offer and what you can offer them. It just changes it. What I have to offer to the person next door who maybe lived there as long as I have is different from what I might have to offer to you who just is here for a short time. But it's still something. I can learn from you, and I can learn from them. So in a larger sense, we're just saying, understand immigrants are people too, I guess is a way of putting it, just like you and me. There are people, and there are just people from somewhere else, and that's the only difference. So don't be afraid of them. Don't feel threatened by them. Don't feel like they're taking something away from you. They're bringing something to you. So the changes you see going on around you that are caused by immigrants, insofar as they are caused by immigrants, are the result of their bringing something with them. They're not taking something away. If you like the way things a little better before they were here, well, that's unfortunate because they are here. And the changes they make are permanent in the sense that you can't unlearn something once you've learned it. You can forget it maybe over time, but you can't really unlearn something. So that the perception. You can't untaste Mexican food once you've had it, or French food, or Italian food, or Japanese food, or Korean food, or all of the many different kinds of food that there are. As we spoke about before, that's one of the first ways the immigrants touch the community. They bring their food with them. And then other people try it and go, oh, I love that food, it's good. That's amazing, I want to do that again. And some of the most prosperous businesses in town right now are Mexican restaurants. They're all over the town. They're opening up everywhere, and they're very popular because people love the food. So there you go. If you didn't have Mexican people here, you wouldn't have Mexican restaurants here. You wouldn't have Mexican food. You would know nothing about that. It would be an experience you would never have.
Mm-hmm.